I want this morning to look at a thought we've been talking about. If you turn back over to 1 Peter chapter number 1, there's a couple verses here. The Bible said in verse number 1, wherein, in verse number 6 of chapter 1, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. It's obvious that the Lord intends for his youngins to rejoice. And then in verse 8, he said, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And we've been looking in this chapter. We looked at rejoicing in the home in the first part of the chapter. We looked last week at rejoicing in the evening service in the house of God. And I believe that's important, that we rejoice in our homes and that we rejoice in the house of God. But today I want to look at this thought in the latter part of the chapter here, and that is rejoicing in the heart. The Bible said in verse number 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. I'll call your attention back over to where we were last week. We're not preaching there, but just to show you what God is talking about. In verse 3 and 4, the Bible's talking about the women, the wives, and being subject to their own husbands. But in verse 3, he says, who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. I'll say this, I believe this with all of my heart. Rejoicing must come from within. We can do things externally, but if it's not coming from the heart, then it's not going to be blessed of God. Amen. And the Bible's telling us over there about the ladies that it's not the outside that makes them beautiful. It's the inside. It's the heart. Amen. And I believe that's the same of every one of us. Amen. God is looking at the heart. And we want to see today that rejoicing as it goes in the heart. There's three things I want to show you today. And I'm not sure if we'll get to all of them this morning. If we do, that'll be great. If we don't, we'll come back tonight. But I want you to see, number one, a good conversion. Number two, a good conscience. And number three, a good conversation. If there's not a good conversion, and there's not a good conscience, and there's not a good conversation, then no wonder there's no rejoicing in the heart. Amen? All three of these elements, I believe, are necessary in order for there to be rejoicing in the heart of the people of God. I will say this. I believe society's trying to drag that rejoicing out of us. Amen? I believe Hollywood would like to drag that rejoicing out of us. Amen? I believe there's a lot of pressure in the world, amen, that wants to pressure that out of us. But I believe that ought to be something that ought to be key in the heart and life of every child of God, that we would be able to rejoice even in adversity. I'll show you something here. Look at verse number 14. The Bible said, but if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. I just thought about this morning. You might think, well, preacher, you're crazy. Well, we know that overseas, just recently, several have been beheaded. They've cut their heads off. And I was just studying and preparing and thinking about, suppose they had my wife and I, and they had the chop blocks beside of each other. I mean, just a test. Could we look over at one another with a glimmer in our eye and the joy of God in our heart? And say, honey, this is it. We're fixing to meet Jesus. Amen. You see, the Bible said we don't have to be afraid of their terror. Amen. How many believes there's been men and women burned at the stake and men and women, my friends, stoned to death? Even we see it in the life of Stephen, Brother Larry, when he got to see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Amen. And he was able to rejoice even though they were stoning him and they hated. Listen, they didn't hate Stephen. They hated the God that Stephen served. They hated the message, amen, that the man of God was standing and giving to him. Amen.
They despised him. The Word of God said they were pricked in their hearts. I'll tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. I believe we'll see some more pricking in the hearts of sinners if we see rejoicing in the hearts of God's people. Amen. Stephen didn't say, "Lord, get them." He said, "Lord, forgive them. Don't lay this sin to their charge." Wonder if I could look over at Miss Eve and say, "Honey, let's pray God will forgive them. They're ignorant. If they knew our Jesus, amen, they wouldn't be doing this, amen. He wouldn't put hatred in their hearts. He'd put love in their hearts, amen." I'll tell you, I believe with all of my heart, we're in a day where in many times, in many places, in many circles, rejoicing is missing. You know, David, I'm not going to take the time to read the entire psalm, but if you get into Psalms chapter number 51, you know what the Bible said? He said, "My sin is ever before me." If I've got the timeline, it was a little over a year that since David committed adultery with Bathsheba and committed murder. You say, "Preacher, there's no way a child of God could act like that. I done read it to you in the Bible. It done said, my friend, before that, that this was a man after God's own heart." I'm telling you, every one of us better put up our guard. Every one of us better put on the whole armor of God. Because I'm telling you right now, without the blessed help of the Holy Ghost, we're capable of doing anything after we get saved and worse than we did before we ever got saved. Listen to me. David was eat up. I believe it was like a cancer. Oh, he didn't need an MRI. Amen. The Holy Ghost of God was done looking through his outside and looking down on the inside. And David got to a place in his life when he said, "Lord, renew a right spirit within me." He said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee." Oh, beloved friend, there's a rejoicing. Let me look back here just a minute. I missed something in quoting that. I'm not sure where I missed it. Psalm 51. I believe there's something here. The Bible said here in Psalm 51, let me find it. David's talking about getting back to that place of blessing, getting back to that place of rejoicing. The Bible said here, "Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." The Bible said here, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." You say, "Preacher, what do you mean? It's a great conversion. It's absolutely necessary, my friend, if people are going to be converted, that God's people be able to rejoice in their heart and in their life." I can remember, I told you this before, I can remember being in meetings with my grandmother when she would get a glimpse that was out of this world. Amen. We used to have a lady over at Oak Glen. She'd sing in the choir, Sister Sonny. And I tell you, I'd get to watching her in the choir sometimes, and it was predictable. Amen. She'd get to looking up. And I tell you what's the truth, she was seeing something nobody else was seeing. It wouldn't be just a minute, she'd be a squalling and a shouting the praises of God. Amen. You say, "Preacher, what we need, what do we need? We need rejoicing, not only in the home and not only in the house of God, but it needs to start in the heart of God's people. A great conversion." My friend, listen, without a conversion, anything that would even look like rejoicing is hypocrisy. I'm telling you, my friend, if we've never been born again, there's nothing to rejoice about. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, there must be a new birth, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I believe no wonder the Apostle Paul, every time when he got up, he wanted to talk about the Damascus Road. What he was saying is this. There was a time when I was going that way. And I was doing things that I thought were a service to God. I was very religious. Nicodemus was very religious. He was going his own way. The Bible said there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But they both wanted to talk about a time, my friend, when God turned them around and they were now going God's way and doing things the right way. And God changed their life. The Bible said if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You say, preacher, I wonder why some people never rejoice. I'll tell you why. They've never experienced a conversion. They've never experienced that great change that comes when Christ comes in. When sin goes out and the Savior comes in, they've never experienced that change in their life. Peter was told by, he's the man writing here in this text, and he was told by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ that Peter failed many times. He failed in many areas, and yet the Lord used Peter on the day of Pentecost to preach the blessed gospel of the Lord Jesus. But Jesus said, listen, Peter, he said, Satan has desired to have thee, to sift thee like wheat. Let me tell you something about your children. He desires to have them too. About my children, he desires to have them too. About you and about me, he desires to have us too. But I tell you, the blessed Savior said to Peter, I've prayed for thee. And he said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Amen. I tell you what he did. He strengthened the brethren. He's even today, God using him to pin down 1st and 2nd Peter. He's still strengthening the brethren even today through the precious word of God. Jesus, I know that Peter failed him miserably, but I'll tell you this, there was a conversion in his life. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yea, Lord, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Amen. I tell you, Peter got about ashamed that Jesus asked him 3 times. But I tell you, Jesus didn't scold him. Amen. Jesus wanted to restore him. Jesus wanted to use him. And I tell you, if you're here this morning and you don't have joy and you don't have rejoicing, but you have been converted, he wants to restore you too. And if you haven't been converted, he wants to save your soul and give you something to shout about on the inside. Amen. I thank the Lord that takes a great conversion for there to be, my friend, rejoicing in the heart. Think about this morning. Go with me over there to Matthew, please. Chapter number 13 for just a minute. Matthew chapter number 13. I'm going to give you a couple of things this morning that I hope will be a blessing. Matthew chapter number 13. The Bible's speaking here of the Jew, but the same thing fits many, many today. Look at chapter 13 and verse 15. The Bible said, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Let me say this to you. There's a fear in my heart that right here in the Bible Belt, people are getting gospel hardened. Amen. Oh, they've heard it. Hey, you can stand and preach. Amen. And people will say, well, I've heard that all my life. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. The book ain't going to change. The book's message ain't going to change. If it said, my friend, 2,000 years ago, a man must be born again, it stands true today that a man must be born again if he's going to make heaven his home. But said their ears, they can't hear, their eyes, they can't see. Blindness in parts happened to Israel. But I'll say this, there's a lot of blindness among the Gentiles today as well. Amen. Because they will not understand the need and trust Christ. Watch what the Bible said in Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 3. Matthew chapter number 18 and verse number 3. I believe this is important as we look at conversion. There must be a conversion if there's going to be rejoicing in the heart. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 3, let me read it to you. The Bible said here, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Are you listening to me this morning? The Bible said, except you be converted. In other words, a man's not going to come in his pride and get saved. He's going to have to come humble. He's going to have to be small. Say amen. I tell you what God does. God's looking at that heart, and God's looking for a man that's desperate. God's looking for a woman that understands they can't save themselves. Amen. And God's looking for somebody that in childlike faith will just take, my friend, the reins off of their life and put it into the hands of a Savior that loved them and gave Himself for them. I believe except you come as a little child, you'll in no wise be converted. I've talked to men before, not many, but several, that said, if I ever get this figured out, then I'll get saved. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, you'll never get saved. I've been saved, and I ain't got it figured out. I ain't figured out how in the world He could love such as I. I ain't figured out why He'd want to go to that cross. Say, oh, He says, because He loved us. Well, tell me why He loved us. Tell me what He saw in you and I. I'll tell you, the grace of God ought to be magnified. And that He loved you and He loved me. Allowed us the opportunity to be saved by the grace of God. You think about the Gentiles especially, considered dogs. I tell you what, that woman said truth, Lord. But even the dogs desire the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I tell you, when a man's going to get saved, when he'll be happy with a crumb. Glory to God, he don't even have to have a slice off of the loaf. And surely don't have to have the loaf. Just, my friend, give me some of them crumbs. Amen. A man will get saved when he'd be content, my friend, to come as a little child. To humble himself as a little child. I like to use this illustration. There was a time in every one of us' life. I'm telling you, I don't know how high the edge of the church is. Maybe 20 feet up to the gutter. 15 to 20 feet, something like that. There was a time, Brother Jeff, in every one of us' life, our daddy could have stood down there and said, jump, son. We wouldn't have thought about it. We wouldn't have thought, how high is it? All we would have known is that's our daddy. And I've built this trust in my daddy. And daddy said, jump, here I come. Amen. Will he catch me? That'll never enter our mind. You say, what is that, preacher? I'll tell you what it is. It's childlike faith. Amen. It's knowing, my friend, listen, hallelujah, when you come to Jesus, He's not here to hurt you. He's here to help you. He'll do exactly what He said He would. There's a great conversion that results in the rejoicing in the heart. Amen. Paul was converted. Stephen was converted. Peter was converted. Look at Acts chapter 3 and verse number 19 for just a minute. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 19. Say, preacher, why are there some that just never rejoice? I'm convinced because there's never been a conversion. There's never been a change in their life. That new birth has not taken place. Look in Acts chapter 3 and verse number 19. What the Word of God said here. The Bible said here, repent ye therefore. And that's another thing that's wrong in this generation. There are people preaching a conversion without repentance. There is no such thing in the Word of God. I've said this 1,000 times in 10 years in prison, and it goes the same out here. Ain't nobody going to get saved till they get sick of it the way it is. Till they get sick of their sin. Amen. Ain't nobody going to get saved till they get sick of it. You say, oh, preacher, how in the world can a man ever get sick of his sin? Ain't one way that I know. The Holy Ghost has to come along. Amen. And show you just how wicked you are. And just how wicked I was. And just how holy He is. And when God does that, my friend, it'll help us along the way. We'll have no trouble jumping to Jesus, amen, and putting our soul in His hand. Watch what the Bible said here in verse number 19. Repent you therefore and be converted. Converted, conversion, that's a word for change, to be changed, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That means glad your sins are blotted out. I don't know about you. But I am thrilled. You say, I've got kin people. I've got aunts. I've got uncles that are convinced that all I ever was a good little boy. They don't know the half of it. Say amen. And y'all got some folk like that too, but my God knows it all. Amen. And my friend, listen, to know that he blotted it out. That handwriting of ordinances. The law was my schoolmaster. It pronounced me good and guilty that I might get good and saved. Amen. Before a holy God. There's rejoicing in the heart as a result of a great conversion in the heart. Amen. Let me give you this. I believe it's important. Turn with me to Acts, please. Chapter number 8. I'm going to tie this in with the second thing here in the message. I'm going to tie it in because I believe it ties in. Watch what the Bible said here in Acts chapter number 8. Let's go over here. And there's the Ethiopian eunuch. He's sitting in his chariot. He's returning. He's been to Jerusalem for the worship. He said, preacher, he wasn't saved. Everybody worships something. Say amen. Oh, you say even the atheists? Oh, yeah, they're worshiping atheism. Amen. Everybody's going to worship something. God made us that way. Amen. They're going to worship something or someone. The Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? The Bible said, for his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip. Watch this now. Let me give you a couple of things right here. Number one, the Bible said over there in Peter, let every man be ready to give an answer to him that asketh a reason of the hope that lieth in you. This man's going to ask a question. And praise God, Philip's going to give him an answer. Let me say this to you. This convicts me. There ought to be more people asking me. Why are you so happy? Why are you rejoicing? Say amen. I'm not talking about in the church. I'm talking about out yonder in this dark world that we live in. The Bible, listen, we're living in a generation where not too many people are living close enough to God that would cause a sinner to ask, what's different about you? Or how do I get what you have? Well, I got so much going on inside of me right now. Let me see if I can get some of it out. Watch this. The Bible said here, the Bible said the eunuch answered Philip, said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Philip opened his mouth. What's he going to do? He's going to give an answer. He began at the same scripture. He's going to give a scriptural answer. And he preached unto him Jesus. He's going to give the Savior's answer to the question. Watch this now. The Bible said, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. In other words, Philip said, son, I'm going to tell you something right now. This God that I serve, he's not looking at that hole of water. And he's not looking at that body of yours. He's looking down in your heart. And if you believe with all your heart, we can get down there in that water. Amen. That ties right in with the book of Peter. The chapter that I just read about baptism, the like figure. It's the answer of a good conscience towards God. I'm telling you, this man, watch what the Bible said. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water. That don't sound like a cup full. That don't sound like a bowl full. That don't sound like a goblet. Say amen. I believe he was buried with him in baptism. Just like the Word of God said. Watch this now. The Bible said, watch this. Both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. And the eunuch saw him no more. Watch this. And he went on his way rejoicing in his heart. You say, preacher, why are some people not rejoicing? Because they're missing that great conversion. If they had that conversion, they would rejoice. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. Listen to me carefully. There's a lot of folk right here around Bible Way. You've told me you got saved by the grace of God. It's time to get in that water hole. That's the answer of a good conscience towards God. You can have some rejoicing and letting others know that you've been born again. You're not ashamed of the Master. That water ain't never washed anybody's sin away. And if you've not been under the cleansing blood, you don't need to go in the water. But if you have been, you ought to be baptized. It's the answer of a good conscience toward God. That's what the Bible said. I'm letting you know why there's so many that aren't rejoicing. Amen. I believe with all of my heart they'll be rejoicing when there's a conversion. They'll be rejoicing when there's that good conscience. Someone said a clear conscience makes the softest pillow. I believe that, don't you? I believe, my friend, I know what it is to have a clear conscience. I also know what it is to have a muddied up conscience. Is anybody home? Amen! I know what it is to live both ways. The answer of a good conscience toward God. God wants us, my friend, to serve Him with gladness. My friend, to be glad in the Lord. To praise Him. Amen. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Rejoicing in the heart. There's a good conversion. But then there's that good conscience. Look at verse 16 in 1 Peter chapter number 3. Having a good conscience. That whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Let me give you some things right here. Look at verse 21. The Bible said, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we baptize folks, we say buried with Him in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection to walk in the newness of life. I'm telling you, I'm just taking the scripture as I come to it in the book of 1 Peter, but there's a reason to rejoice in the heart of that one, my friend, that's been born again and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Amen. I believe that's one of the first things you can do. To say to a world, I'm not ashamed. The Bible said, he that believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Amen and amen. It's the answer of a good conscience toward God. My friend, there's a great conversion. There's a good conscience. You know, let me give you this. Remember that scripture there, be not afraid of their terror. You remember that up there in verse 14? Watch this. Remember Paul and Silas? Remember down there at the jail? Amen. You say, preacher, how do you see this in action in the Word of God? I'll tell you how you see it in action. You see it in the life of Paul and Silas. What are they doing at midnight? Are they complaining? Are they murmuring? No, they're praising God and they're praying. You see, they have a good conscience, brother. They realize they're not in there for evil doing. They're in there for doing right. They're in there for preaching the Word of God. They're in there for standing up for Jesus. Amen. And listen, you can say what you want to, but God approved. God come along and shook the jail and let them out of jail. Amen. And the Word of God said there that the jailer, my friend, he was going to kill himself, but he came in with a lantern, trembling, fell down and said, sirs, what's the reason that you all pray and praise God at midnight? Now, that's not what the Bible said, but that's all. You can read that into it without saying anything. How in the world I beat you all? You got blood coming out of your back. How in the world can you stand in there and pray and praise God at midnight in the darkest hour of your life? I want to know what's going on. What must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved in thy house. And you know what they did? They had a household salvation. And then they had a household baptism. Am I right or am I wrong? And then there was some business to take care of. That one that was in charge, I don't know if he done it himself or not. But he was in charge of it. He ordered it if he didn't do it himself. The one that applied the stripes, you say, preacher, had his life changed? Watch it. The one that had beat him, the one that was in charge of that beating, that flogging, is now washing the stripes. Oh, I tell you what he's saying. I'm sorry, boys, that I beat you. I'm sorry, boys, that I put you in this dungeon. I'm sorry for what I've done. And when I got saved, I told my father I was sorry for the way that I'd lived. Amen. A life of sin. A life without him. No rejoicing. Oh, I had religion, but I didn't have a relationship. I'm afraid that describes a lot of people today. They got real cream religion. A little dab will do you. Some of you don't remember that commercial. Amen. We're telling our age, aren't we? Amen. But I'll tell you something right now. You ever get converted, a little dab won't do you. You'll want to dive in all over. You'll want to serve the Lord with gladness. You'll want to say, preacher, what's next? What can we do to honor him? Amen. You go down to job, and it's the same way sometimes in the church. Listen to me. You go down to job, and you got people that's wanting to give 110%, and you got others that's wanting to give 10%. Say amen. I was sitting on the front bench at Liberty Baptist Church years ago, and we had a preacher come in. He said, my people are 100% willing. And I felt like crawling under the pew. I thought, boy, what would it be like to pastor a church that was 100% willing? And then he said this. He said, 10% are willing to work and 90% are willing to let them. Amen. I said, wow, maybe I am close right there. Amen. You say, preacher, are you scolding us? No, I'm trying to tell you that my friend rejoicing is missing sometimes because we don't have a good conscience. We know that we've skipped out on the work of God. God said we ought to be running to the work, not running from it. Amen. Running to the work. The things that go on, my friend, around the job, around the church, around the home, require work. Amen. They don't just happen. Amen. And the Bible's telling us there's rejoicing in the heart when we have a good conversion, when we have a good conscience. I believe Paul and Silas, I don't know what they sounded like singing, but to heaven, Brother Ralph, they didn't have a microphone. They didn't have any loudspeakers, but God might have given them your lungs that night. Amen. I tell you, they heard them all over the jail. I'm telling you, my friend, listen, I don't know what it sounded like to men's ears, but in heaven, I'll guarantee you there was a smile and glory and that God approved. Amen. They got the attention of God the Father, rejoicing in their heart. You know, the Bible even says this in the book of Acts. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name's sake. Oh, how we ought to rejoice as a result of our conversion, as a result of a good conscience towards God, and then as a result of good conversation. The Bible tells us here, my friend, listen. The Bible said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope. How many has some hope in you today? A living hope, a lively hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. That tells me, brother and sister, that we're not to be arrogant. We're not to be proud. But my friend, with meekness and with the fear of God in our heart, we ought to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh us a reason. Watch what he said here, having a good conscience in verse number 16. He said, but it's better in verse 17, the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. You come on down, he said, Christ also suffered for sin, the just for the unjust. How many's glad of that this morning? By which he went down, he preached unto the spirits in prison. I've been studying about that. It's an awesome study. I believe, my friend, from what I've been able to find out, that if you think about that, it's talking about back there, Noah wasn't the only one doing the preaching in that day. I got some scripture for that. The Bible said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You know what I believe God did? I believe he lit up The Bible said this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I don't believe one in that society died without God that was not without excuse. My friend, when the flood came, God didn't just send them Noah, but God sent the Holy Ghost, amen, and perhaps even, my friend, the pre-incarnate Christ, to tell them about the judgment that was coming. Oh, friend of mine, a good conscience, a good conversation. The Bible said here, he's gone into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God, the angels and the authorities and the powers being subject unto him. Having a good conscience in verse 16, first, a good conversion. Then, a good conscience. They speak evil of you of evildoers, that they may be ashamed, that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. That word conversation there is not speaking of our speech. It's speaking of our lifestyle, our manner of life, the way that we behave. If you look it up, amen. Never forget, I don't know if it was original with Brother Danny Sykes, but I'll never forget when he said it. He said, if you believe right, you'll behave right. I'll tell you, I believe that. Amen. When we're not behaving right, there's an error, amen, in our faith. Look at Abraham. Help me right there. Say amen. When Abraham believed right, Abraham behaved right. Amen. When he got weak, same thing with John the Baptist. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. God knows that we need to be rejoicing in our heart. Our rejoicing doesn't just need to be on Sunday. It needs to be on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. It needs to be at home. It needs to be at the house of God. It needs to be at the job. It needs to be at the restaurant this afternoon. Some of them waitresses dread to see church people coming. You'd think they don't have an ounce of joy in their heart. They're so demanding. Amen. They're not perfect and they know it, but they expect their meal to be perfect. They expect their coffee to be perfect. Amen. God, deliver us from that. Amen. Help us. Amen. Have some joy in our spirit and rejoicing in our heart. The Bible's talking about rejoicing in the home, rejoicing in the house of God. And I believe it all ought to be a result of the rejoicing that's going on in our heart. Have you been converted? Can you go to a place and a time in your life when God changed your life? When God forgave you of your sin, picked that load up off of you, that guilt up off of you? You went down heavy and come up light. You went down burdened and came up without that burden. You went down dirty and came up clean. You went down on your way to hell and came up on your way to heaven. You went down without hope and came up with a heart full of hope that makes you not ashamed anymore, because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. How many believes God gives the Holy Ghost to every one of His children? Amen. How many believes He gives it to us? I'm going to rephrase that. Gives Him to us when we get saved. Amen. The very moment that we get saved, God gives us the precious Holy Spirit of God. Rejoicing. Rejoicing in the heart. Is there rejoicing in your heart? The Bible said, never forget, that eunuch, he went on his way rejoicing. I get to see my pastor this week. Some of the men went with us up to Dyson Grove. Got to meet Brother Bud Wishon. Hadn't seen him in years, and he hasn't changed a bit. He's drinking pickle juice or something. I don't know, but I mean, he just preserved. Amen. He's 76 years old, and he still looks like he did when he was my pastor. So he must have looked, never mind. Anyway, he looks real good. He really does. But you know, that night when God saved me, listen to me carefully, it is a fact that I went on my way rejoicing. I went home and told Miss Eve, rejoicing. She is home with two sick kids. I said, baby, I got to go. She said, where are you going? I said, I ain't sure, but I got to go. I went on my way rejoicing, went on over Mom and Dad's, drove from there to Damascus, Virginia. I remember the last door, it was well after midnight that night. I didn't even know what time it was. I was just going on my way rejoicing, amen, that God had saved an old sinner like me. Doug answered the door and he said, what is it? I said, Doug, I got saved. He said, Linda, put on some coffee, amen. And we rejoiced in the wee hours of the morning. Because God had chosen to save an old sinner, amen, like me. I'm going to tell you something right now. Religion wants us to get over it. Hello? Religion wants us to get over it. Now, there is a pure and undefiled religion, and that one's all right. But this world's religion, it ain't all right. That's why that they're trying to stamp out and stomp out old-time religion. They don't want anybody singing. They don't want anybody preaching. They don't want that old bloody religion. I'm going to tell you something. It's better than that. It's a bloody salvation. Amen. Thank God we've been bought with a price. Amen. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. This world don't want it. But I tell you, it pleases our Savior when we rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Sister Miriam. Amen.
I'm not going to give you any power. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing, but he knows what I'm doing. And that forever changed my life, because we think that we don't make a difference. But when we mind the Lord and when we do rejoice in whatever
circumstances. Amen, sister. Amen.
Because I wanted to meet my Lord with joy.
Amen. 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 That sounds like Stephen to me. Amen. Amen. He wasn't looking at the stones. He was looking at a Savior. He wasn't looking at the enemy. He was looking at the ally. Amen. Looking at the one that was on his side. Rejoice. I'm going to tell you, God only knows what his people are going to face before we leave this world. God only knows. But I know this. We won't have to face it alone. If we've been converted, born again, thank God he lives in there. He didn't come, my friend, just to stay a little while. He come to stay the duration. He said, I'll go with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. What a Savior we have this morning. We ought to rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoicing in the home. Rejoicing in the house of God. But there ought to be rejoicing in the heart. I tell you, if God would just help you this morning to see what he sees, what would he see? Would he see rejoicing? Would he see a heart that has been converted? A heart that has been changed? A heart that has a good conscience? A heart that has a good conversation and behaves right for the glory of God? My friend, listen, if not, we need to get that in an altar to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to preach the Word of God. Thank you for the missionary, Lord, that though he may have been facing death, he knew that the next face would be the face of his Savior. Help us not to be afraid of their terror. Lord, I know that every day there are people in this world that are abused. And Lord, that are even murdered and killed along the way. God, I know this. For God's people, our next step will be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I pray, God, that you'll take the message and speak to hearts. Those that need to be saved, Lord. Those that, Lord, need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, I pray you'll speak to their heart. It's not a light thing. And Lord, they may wonder, well, why am I not any happier than I am? Lord, I pray that they're truly converted, truly been born again, that they would want to go all out and serve you, the rest of their life. Father, I pray that you'd help us in our behavior. God, we have a conscience. We don't only have the Holy Spirit as God's people, and that is important. It's very important. But Lord, even before we got saved, we had a conscience, Lord, that tells us when we do wrong. And God, I pray today you'd help us to walk in that good conversation in a manner that'd be pleasing unto thee. Forgive us, God, for our sin and our shortcomings, and help us, our Father, that we might live for you, look for you, lean on you. For surely, Lord, yet a little while, and he that shall come will come.